From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Governor Newsom just wrapped up his final State of the State address as he rounds out his final term in office, delivered before a joint session of the California legislature, which is a traditional setting that has been a departure for Newsom in recent years. But this address capstones two terms that began as expected as can be, then suddenly uprooted by the pandemic, and now ending with yet another antagonistic relationship with the White House. The intention of the annual State of the State address is to lay out the governor's priorities and challenges for the upcoming year. But Newsom's final one also alluded to a larger ambition, eyeing a possible bid for the White House. We're going to break down Governor Newsom's priorities and message to not only Californians, but also the national stage. Gary South is a veteran Democratic strategist who managed Governor Newsom's first campaign for governor in 2008 to 2009 when he exited the race. Mike Madrid is a veteran Republican consultant and one of the country's leading experts on Latino voters, as well as the co-founder of the Lincoln Project in response to the first Trump presidency. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and just for context for listeners, Insight airs live at noon, rebroadcast at 7 p.m. So the State of the State address coupled with the Republican response is running right into our live show. So thank you both for being here moments after all of this has completed. Okay, so for Governor Newsom, he hasn't really done one of these State of the State addresses in a minute, you know, in this traditional setting. And he led right off the top, acknowledging that he just doesn't really like these addresses. He's dyslexic. It's hard for him to read off the teleprompter. What struck you about the tone of his final address as governor? Gary?
Well, the speech was nearly as long as the unabridged dictionary, and that's without all the ad-libs. But in addition to, I think, devastatingly taking apart Trump and Trumpism cell by cell, I guess the headline that I would see coming out of this is that the budget deficit is not nearly as large as the legislative analyst office predicted, because state revenues are up by a pretty whopping $42 billion, as he pointed out. And also that substantial progress has been made on both homelessness and crime as well. None of these developments will be, you know, good news to Newsom's detractors, but I think they're great news for Californians and for Newsom. And you know, the other thing that I would say is that Newsom is just a masterful communicator, and I think even his detractors have to concede that. And not only at the podium, but on social media, and you know, even one on one. His rhetorical skills, I think, are the likes of those of Obama, Clinton, and JFK. So if he does run for president in 2028, which he is widely expected to do, he will just simply out-debate and outwit anybody who's on the stage with him, like he did poor Florida Governor Ron DeSantis back in 2023 in that nationally televised debate, as you might recall. And also, you know, like he made mincemeat out of both of his hapless Republican opponents in his governor's races in 2018 and 2022. So, you know, I think the economic news and the fiscal news coming out of this is that, you know, anyone who wants to question or disparage Newsom's stewardship of the state as governor is going to run smack into the fact that California in 2024 became the fourth largest economy in the world on his watch, bigger than that of Japan, bigger than the economy of the whole United Kingdom. So he's got a great story to tell. And I think this final State of the State is a good endpoint for his 8 years as governor.
But do you think that accomplishment, fourth largest economy in the world, really lands with the everyday Californian?
It probably doesn't, because the average California is concerned about the price of eggs and the price of gas and their job security and whether or not they can buy a home. But what I'm telling you is that when his opponents, either on the Democratic side or the Republican side, as Trump does nearly every other day, tries to say that California is a hot mess under Gavin Newsom's governorship, that simply doesn't square with the facts.
Mike, how about you?
Well, look, I agree with Gary in some respects in that Gavin Newsom is a generational talent in the Democratic Party. And I think that people that don't think he's a very top-tier contender at becoming the next president of the United States dramatically underestimate him and his skill set. And I've been very critical of Gavin Newsom when I think it was warranted, and I've been very complimentary of the governor when I think it was warranted. This speech was a sugar high. This speech is the same speech that you hear a politician give talking about their accomplishments. I guess you can kind of give him a pass and saying, well, maybe he doesn't need to address, you know, where the actual state of the state of California is at because he's leaving and this is kind of the swan song, and give the man his flowers and some of what he's due. And he is due some of it. But I think when we look back historically, Gavin Newsom's governorship was remarkably empty of accomplishments. And moreover, this was not an accurate reflection. I'm sorry, I disagree. So this was not an accurate reflection of the state of California. This was a reflection of the state of part of California that is doing very well. Homeownership rates have gotten far worse under Gavin Newsom. Homelessness has gotten worse under Gavin Newsom. And my jaw literally dropped when I was listening to him blaming local government, cities and counties, for the homelessness problem in the first place. He gave, I think, 8 sentences to the affordability crisis in California. 8. Half of that was housing, which I guess 4 sentences. They didn't even begin to address the housing problem in California until the 8th inning of a 9-inning baseball game in this administration. You know, he came in his first state of the state promising 3.5 million new homes. We didn't even get to 500,000 and didn't even try, incidentally. So, look, I don't want to be, you know, unbiased. I don't want to give some clear analysis of what this was. This was a real preview of what the presidential campaign is going to look like. And can he convince Democrats in the primary and Americans broadly that the California story is as successful as he's glazing this over to be? And there are a lot of things to be proud of. But there are some extraordinary weaknesses, especially for working class people, Latinos, African Americans. And in California, the success story there for Democrats is non-existent. It's not a success story. There are clear failures on behalf of this administration and the Democratic Party after 8 years of Gavin Newsom.
Well, right off the top for his long address, I mean, it wasn't only to Californians, but even alluded to being to the nation. I mean, his heavy focus at the start of his address was on being tested, like assault on values from the federal government. And he actually addressed the president directly. Let's take a listen.
I say this with respect, but mindful. But Mr. President, you can't cut off critical food assistance for millions of people. You can't send the military into American cities without justification. And you cannot cruelly and illegally cut off funding for medical research, homeland security, or disaster response. That is wrong. That is wrong.
Gary, you, of course, worked very closely with Newsom during his first campaign for governor from July of 2008 to October of 2009 when he exited the race. Governor Brown was elected. Newsom became lieutenant governor. I mean, when you listen to the strategy, the choice to lead more on a national stage, what does that tell you?
Well, look, any governor of California, which is the largest state, 40 million people, more people than the whole continent of Australia. And as I keep reminding national reporters and East Coast reporters, we have more registered voters in California, more registered voters than there are people living in 47 of the other 49 states. I mean, the scale of California is massive and almost impossible for people who don't live here and don't really look at the data to understand. But I do want to go back for just a second and address something that Mike said. About the housing crisis and the price of housing. I have publicly warned Democrats not to overpromise with respect to the housing affordability crisis, because the fact of the matter is state governments do not build housing. There are some limited examples of that being the case, but housing is basically built by developers. And one of the problems in California that Mike didn't allude to is that large national equity groups, including hedge funds, have been, and this has been well reported upon, have been buying up single-family homes, millions of single-family homes in California and nationally as well, since the 2008 financial crisis, converting them into rentals and, you know, increasing competition. And the studies show that this has contributed massively to the cost of homes in California. That is not a problem that a governor can basically solve with the waving of a wand. The housing crisis is a problem. It's just not a problem in California. It's a problem elsewhere as well, because these private equity firms have been going in and buying them up with billions of dollars of their wealth. That is part of the problem in California, and a governor that is beyond a governor's ability to solve using the tools and using the resources of state government, no matter what anyone wants to say or what anyone wants to claim.
What about the state's investment and priority towards homelessness and the unhoused population? Governor Newsom made unprecedented investments as governor to homelessness. He did, in his words, celebrate a 9% reduction statewide. But I think for a lot of people who live in cities, especially larger ones, they don't really buy that progress. Why has that fallen short?
Well, again, what I would tell you, I live on the west side of L.A., and I see the homeless encampments all over the place, including under the underpasses that I drive through every day. But again, the homelessness crisis in California is a real one, and it's visible to everyone. It's not something that can be hidden or that can be explained away. But in reality, the state government as an entity cannot solve the homelessness crisis in and of itself. It takes local governments to do that. And, you know, here in the city of L.A., for example, and I've been critical of Mayor Bass about this, we have public sidewalks all over the place that are literally blocked by homeless encampments where you can't walk by them. There's a reason why we call public sidewalks. They're for the public to use. No one, including homeless people, should be able to take over a public sidewalk and block that sidewalk from being usable to the public, and including, by the way, people who have limited mobility, who are on walkers, who are on wheelchairs, who literally have to go out into the street to get by those encampments. But this is really a problem that has to be solved at the local level. The state has made some progress. You've seen pictures of Newsom himself out helping clean up homeless encampments. And he has targeted some of them, some of the most egregious ones, for the state to go in and clean up. But overall, the state is too massively big for state government to deal with all of these homeless encampments and to deal with the homelessness problem. This is a local problem, primarily, that has to be dealt with at the local level. And frankly, and I'm saying this as a Democrat, even in the very heavily Democratic city of LA with a Democratic mayor, it hasn't been handled particularly well.
I want to move over to the budget, because the January budget proposal is going to be unveiled tomorrow. The governor will not be there to present the budget. It will be the Department of Finance. The director at that department will be briefing the media on the budget, which is unusual. Typically, the governor does this. I remember seeing Governor Brown with the piggy bank and the reserves funds and the rainy day funds. Mike, what does that say to you, that the governor won't be there for his final January budget proposal?
I think it's, well, first, I think it says a lot. The first is it says he's just not terribly interested in governing. I don't think there's any other way to spin what happened today. This was not about California's problems going forward. This was about setting a prophylactic measure of the attacks that he is invariably going to, and justifiably so, on his California record. So I think you're going to see him, I think, disengage as much as he possibly can, which is probably advice that I and anybody running his campaign would be doing. The most we got out of governance from Gavin Newsom was in the last year. And that's where I think there's a philosophical and political distinction between what Gary just articulated and the truth, which is you cannot blame local governments for the problems with California. I'm sorry, I'm laughing a little bit because you can't do that and expect to not get the political backlash which you deserve. This is an administration that took away redevelopment fundings from local government, that has been penalizing local government on both homelessness and building housing, and then blaming local governments by saying you can't, because you haven't solved the problem after we've taken away your money and your tools to do it. I don't think you're going to see in this budget any sort of line item that is going to financially incentivize cities. I think that there will be many more sticks than carrots. And what I can tell you with a high degree of certainty is that's not going to fly politically outside of the state of California. Blaming somebody, especially a different level of government that has desperately been trying to ameliorate these problems because they have to deal with them every day, is not something that's going to sell in Iowa. That's not something that's going to sell in New Hampshire. And it's a very big problem he's going to have to face. And I think that not showing up for the budget is the first step in that direction. If things were as good as he's claiming they are going to be, and he wants to take ownership or credit of that, you show up, you use it to continue to trumpet that. But I don't think that there's a whole lot of California record that's gonna be a positive when he's going to try to have to rebrand the state where the other 49 states don't necessarily have the same positive image of California that a lot of people in Sacramento believe they have.
Gary, I'm curious your thoughts on this. I mean, a lot can change between now and 2028, but as it looks today, where do you think Governor Newsom stacks up for a possible run for the White House?
Governor Newsom is the front runner for the 2028 Democratic nomination, unless or until someone else steps up and takes it away from him. That's just a fact. That's what the polls show. He has campaign skills that are simply out of league with the rest of the potential field, at least as we know it today. In addition to that, I would say this. Mike and the Republicans like to talk about California being out of sync with the rest of the country. And I have written about this, actually. I don't disagree with that to some degree. But we have a president of the United States sitting in the White House who is from Manhattan. Not just New York State, not just New York City, but from Manhattan. If anyone can tell me that Manhattan is more in sync with Middle America than California, they need to go to Manhattan. They either haven't been there or they're kidding themselves. And I would just say, for the historical record, every single state budget that Newsom has promised and signed during his governorship has been balanced. And I'm told that the one he will be dropping tomorrow will be balanced as well, with no substantial cuts. That is a very positive position for him to be in this, his last year as governor, and as a prelude to his almost certain launch of a presidential campaign.
Yeah, well, the state has faced, they closed them, but they face budget shortfalls and deficits in recent years. And the LAO, the Legislative Analyst Office, does project an $18 billion shortfall for this fiscal year. The Department of Finance will have their own numbers. We're going to cover that. It's going to be unveiled tomorrow. We only have a minute left, and I just want to ask a final question, if you can keep it concise. Gary, I'll start with you. Is California better or worse off during Newsom's two terms?
Well, California is better off. I mean, we have grown. Our economy is better off. And, you know, one of the things I will say is that with Mike's party in charge in Washington, D.C., I mean, granted, it's kind of apples and oranges, but the federal government's budget deficit in 2025, you can Google this and check it out yourself, was $1.8 trillion. That's trillion with a T, with supposedly fiscally conservative Republicans controlling the White House, the Senate, and the House. They've got the trifecta. So I think that, again, by the way, for my friend Mike to say that Newsom is not interested in governance is pretty laughable. This is a guy who is more detailed oriented than any governor that I've worked for, and I've worked for two of them of different states. This is a person who works tirelessly every day, including on weekends, getting down into the nub of issues, getting down into the nub of problems every single day. And I think that shows in his mastery of detail with respect to the issues he talked about today. I mean, to claim that he's some kind of lackadaisical person who gets to work in the morning like Donald Trump at 11 o'clock in the morning is simply demonstrably not true.
All right, Mike, 30 seconds.
Yeah, so as somebody who has led the fight against Donald Trump because I don't believe in dishonesty, I'm going to push back and say that spinning has no place and just outright falsehoods have no place in that. And I'm not going to take that from my Democratic friend who's speaking right now, nor am I going to take it from Gavin Newsom. Look, if you are wealthy, if you are white, if you are college educated and a homeowner, California has gotten considerably better during the Gavin Newsom administration. That's just the facts. For everything that you are not of those, it has gotten demonstrably, quantifiably, provably worse. That is why middle-class voters left the Democratic Party in record numbers, not just during the Kamala Harris reelect in 2024, but some of the weakest performance of a generation in Gavin Newsom's reelection.
Mike and Gary, thank you so much for taking the time this
afternoon.
Thanks
for having us. Appreciate you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Gary South is a veteran Democratic strategist who managed Governor Newsom's first campaign for governor in 2008 to 2009. Mike Madrid is a veteran Republican consultant and one of the country's leading experts on Latino voters, as well as the co-founder of the Lincoln Project. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.